Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money, episode 792, Susie Orman.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
You have to put your own oxygen mask on first, and then you can take care of everybody else. And you know
you
what?
You got that line from me, girlfriend.
I think I got it from you, American Airlines. Like, I think that's how I got that. Susie Orman is here, everybody. Keeping me on my toes, as you just heard. This interview is probably one of my favorites for a lot of reasons. It was my first time meeting the Susie, so I wore one of my best jackets as a show of solidarity. It was also fascinating to hear her views on women and money today. You may have thought Susie was enjoying retirement. Well, she's left, at least temporarily, to come out. Since the Me Too movement, she's been inspired to relaunch a new and improved edition of her best-selling book, Women and Money. This is going to be a little bit of a different format than typical episodes. On the podcast, you will hear from me, as well as Adam Auriemma, the editor-in-chief of Money Magazine, who invited us, Susie and I, to join a panel with him to talk about women and money. Here's the audio from that interview, and for the full coverage, head over to money.com. Here we go. Here is Susie Orman.
Hey, I'm Adam. I'm the editor of Money, and I'm here with two financial experts. We have Susie Orman, the author of, I think, 9 New York Times bestsellers, 2-time Emmy Award winner, and author most recently of Women and Money, which has been revised and updated since it was first published about 10 years ago. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
And here is Farnoosh Torabi, another financial expert, of course, and the author of When She Makes More, which is all about women who make more than their partners in romantic relationships. And a columnist at O, and a regular on the Today Show, and all sorts of places. So welcome.
Thank you.
So, Susie, we'll start with you. You wrote Women and Money about 10 years ago. In the time since then, you've left your show, you've somewhat retired to the Bahamas. Why come back now and write this book again?
So here's the thing. It started with the Me Too movement. And you have to ask yourself the question, why do women allow themselves to be violated? Why? And in my opinion, it's because they need the job, they need the promotion, they need the part. Why? Because they need the money. Why do they need the money? To feed their family. And women will do anything. And I saw it in 2007, 2008. They will do anything to take care of their family, especially their kids. So I started to realize the role that money plays in the Me Too movement. and everything. And while it is fabulous that women now are finding their voice and they're finally saying what's happened to them, and there isn't one of us I'm positive that it hasn't happened to, really, especially in, you know, at my age, it's happened many times. But I had the power to say no. And I had the power to say no because I didn't care. And so it's not until women have power over their money. It's not so much even that they have money, but they have to have power over the money they have. Because even really wealthy women who have money get violated. And why is that? And it's because they have a manager and they have a this and they have a that, and they are still not taking their power with money. So the subtitle of the book is to be strong, smart, and secure. And it's my way of trying to say, come on, ladies, this is the time that you now have a voice. Let's have a financial voice. That's why I did it.
So you're saying in this year when women are finally speaking up about all sorts of things, isn't it time to start speaking up about money?
No, I'm not saying that. It's not about speaking up about money.
Yep.
And I'm not so worried about the women who have already been in compromising situations because they now have an outlet and they can speak up. And chances are they're never going to do it again. I'm worried about the women who haven't yet been approached, that don't have any money, or they don't have power over the money they have, and now they find themselves in a situation. I want them to be able to have a voice that says no. And they can say no because they have power over the money that they have. Did that make more sense to you?
It does make more sense. Yeah. And so you feel
he's
like...
He's a man. What do we expect? Oh, that's a low hit. But you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
You know, Adam, it's... This is a serious, serious situation that we have on going on here. When you have major CEOs and personalities and newscasters and everybody now coming out, and I'm not so sure that enough people are scared enough about this movement yet where this is going to stop unless women speak up for themselves, they speak up for other women and stand up for other women, and money has a role that plays in this big time, in my opinion.
Sure. So, okay, so how do they do that? What are you telling them in this book?
This book, you know, this book has millions of them already out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a saying in this book, and I'm known for this saying, self-worth equals net worth. If you can't value who you are, you're never going to value what you do with the money that you make. You're just going to waste it in all these things. It's going to come in and it's going to go out. So this book really talks about not putting yourself on sale, saying no out of love for yourself versus yes out of fear what somebody else is going to think about you. It talks about money and relationships and how that all plays. And it gives you a financial empowerment plan where it literally takes your hand and where I'm saying to you, do this, do that, do that, do this, do all of these things. And it gives them the resources. If they need a will, if they need a trust, go here. This is how you're going to do it. Do take this course, do these things, have a debt eliminator, have an expense tracker, all for that, you know, those things.
Mm-hmm.
You need those things. So this book is a personal educational system again. For women who want to be strong, smart, and secure, there's 8 qualities of a wealthy woman in there. You have to know who you are to be as powerful as you're meant to be.
We will get to those 8 qualities of a wealthy woman. I would like to hear them. But I do want to ask Farnoosh, are you seeing the same thing? Are you seeing the same sort of fear that Susie's talking about?
I wanted to say thank you for making the correlation between Me Too and money. I don't think that is being talked about enough. I think that that was also the first thing that jumped out at me. You know, why are these women why are we all continually finding ourselves in these kinds of situations? And there's a lot of factors, but one that was sort of overlooked was financial security. Because when you have financial security and you have savings and you have confidence in your financial plan, then that gives you the license to say no or to walk away, to get out of bad situations. But I think it's also opening up the conversation now about truly when women make more, when women have financial independence, the world becomes a better place. This is not just a win for women. This is a win for everybody. And like any other quote unquote issue that we can't for some reason get everybody behind, it's about making it a global issue, like the same with like gay rights, right? It's not about gay people. It's about families. It's about human rights, right? And like, who doesn't want to get behind that?
Right.
And so for women's issues, when it comes to money, my whole platform is about educating the women, but also showing the benefits when women are financially secure. It's for the ladies, but it's also for their families to be secure. It's also for the ability for the women to be able to stay in the workforce while they have children so they can continue to have their financial independence. Companies win. They can continue to be in political landscapes. You know, there's just so much benefit when women have the money. And right now, not enough women have the money. They're not making enough of the money. They have to ask for it. We have to also create programs and training so that people give them the money that they deserve. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a long road, but I think that the Me Too movement was the catalyst that we needed globally to start talking about this as not just a woman's issue, but it's really everyone's concern.
I figured let's start with some positives. So your book is about situations, increasingly common situations where women earn more than their partners. Okay. So in what ways are women better at money, better at managing money than men?
Well, there's been a lot of study done about women and investing, and over the long run, women tend to outperform men in the stock market. Mm-hmm. And I think when they look closely at why, it's because women, we are very thorough in our research. We don't do things for the thrill of it. Like, we're not investing because it's exciting. We're investing because we have goals and we want to meet them. And so as a result, we're not in our portfolios making all sorts of moves all the time. What they found was those patterns were more consistent with men than women. So I think, you know, sometimes women get downplayed, like, oh, we're risk averse, we're not aggressive, but actually that works well for us when it comes to investing. And I think studies like that are great reminders as to why women should be more active in the stock market. So that's one thing. And Susie mentioned earlier, like, we will do anything for our families.
Yeah.
And that is why today we're seeing such a growth in women making more than their partners. During the recession, the man session, right? A lot of stay-at-home moms or moms who are making less, who saw their husbands lose their jobs because he was working in finance or construction or real estate, which were hard hit and traditionally male-dominant industries. They're like, okay, well, we could wait till you find your next job, but we have, you know, a mortgage to pay for, we have kids to feed. So she then would go out and work and bring home the big paycheck. And that, to some extent, didn't change for a lot of families. You know, the women who emerged during the recession, who took on those big, important jobs, are still doing them. But also we're seeing women go to college in higher numbers, graduate school in higher numbers. That's paying off in the job market as well. We're very much interested in educating ourselves. So that's a big plus, too.
Yeah, those are all really great positive things. I wonder, so Susie, you said recently, so this is partly about confidence, right? Because you said women fake orgasms and men fake finances. Okay, so what does that mean?
Tell us all about that.
Yeah, figures.
Why are men faking finances?
I'll tell you why men fake finances.
Yeah.
It's for 18 years, 20 years, whatever it was, I sat behind the desk. And I literally invested people's money for them. And the women would come in and they would ask questions. They didn't have a problem saying, I don't know. Tell me that again. I don't understand that. Men don't even ask for directions. They don't have to even now ask for directions because we have GPS.
Right.
But in the olden days, they wouldn't say they didn't know. So I started to do this experiment where men would come in. And their wife would go to the bathroom because it would be a long session. And while the man was sitting there by himself, I would give him the most complicated strategy you could ever think of. We were going to do these spreads and these straddles, and we were going to do this again and this whole thing. And I would say to him, you understand what I'm talking about here, because we're going to make your income from this strategy. He goes, that sounds brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I was talking nonsense to him. Right? Yeah. And his wife would come back. She would sit down and I would say, all right, now tell her everything I just told you we were going to do. And he would say, where did the men get their advice from? Because I did a lot of consulting with Gulfstream and these major corporations that had thousands of employees, mainly men, in the factories. And Joe would tell Jim, Jim would tell John, John would tell Larry, and that's how they got their advice. Because when it came to, well, how are you choosing what you should be investing in your retirement plans? Well, Joe told us. And then I would interview Joe, and Joe wouldn't know what he was talking about. That's how Bernie Madoff's happened. That's how scams happen. So men, in my opinion, don't like to face their mortality. They don't want to do a will. They don't want to do a trust. They're usually the ones that are saying no to their wives, that are saying, but honey, we have to do this if something happens to you. And they're like, not right now, sweetheart. And they're also the ones that just, they don't want to say, I don't know. Now, partly women created that, believe it or not, at least years ago, because women put this pressure on these men's shoulders. You take care of me financially. I'll pay the bills, but you invest the money. You do this. And he loved her so much and his family so much that he was like, okay. And he had no place that he could turn. And so it's so important, in my opinion, that financial education reaches both women and men, that you bring them together as a unit, as a unit. But women have to want to get involved. And the men don't even know how to pay bills. So they both need changing. So that's what I mean when I say they fake finances, that they say they know what they're doing. And when you have a one-on-one with them, they actually don't.
I mean, that's interesting. There's also these studies that say that women tend to hold more of their assets in cash. So men are out there faking their finances and just doing it, even though they might not fully understand it.
They're faking until they make it.
Yeah, they're faking it until they make it. Whereas women, I think, according to some research, are just sort of waiting on the sidelines and they're missing out. So how do we, like, how do you talk about getting that back into balance?
Well, I don't think either practice is, there are flaws in both of those, those ways. I think the middle road is get an index fund, right? Low fee, ride it out, believe in the market, don't make knee-jerk reactions, don't be in there day trading and, you know, Bitcoin, forget it. You know, it's just about the plain vanilla boring path, which I think everybody can get behind. I mean, because it's really what it tells me is it's simple. It works, historically been proven to work. And as long as you believe in, I believe in the American dream, and the American dream fuels the stock market to an extent. And of course, we have lots of different good days and bad days. But I think that if you can get behind that, I believe in indexing. I believe in just the middle road. And that's kind of the happy medium, right?
Right. So it's just about giving women the tools so they can get there, right?
Here's what I found works so great. Women love when things are on sale. They do. They wait, they'll buy it cheaper. They love that. Whenever I tell a woman, you should be wishing and praying and hoping that the stock market goes down. You have 30, 40, 50 years until you need this money. So you want to start investing and you want to see the stock market go down. And you explain dollar cost averaging to them and why buying these stocks on sale is exactly what they want to do. And they should all start with an amount of money that they're not afraid to lose. $100 a month, $300, whatever it is. As soon as they get that it's okay and they'll be better off when the market goes down for the long run because they're buying more shares, we've taken the fear out of it. Because they're afraid, what do you do if the market goes down? I don't want to buy if the market goes down. I'm like, oh no, you want to buy when the market goes down. All of a sudden, when I do that in big companies, you see an extraordinary sign up with women in their 401ks that hadn't signed up before. It's a fascinating thing. Take the fear out of something, make it regimented, absolutely do the index funds, and that's the winning ticket.
It's very mystifying. I mean, I'll be the first to say, I didn't invest in my 401k until someone at work said, just do it. Just do it. If you don't like it, if it's too much money, you can always turn it off, but there's a match. And I mean, it took another woman to tell me that it was a good bet. And I think that's also what needs to happen. We need other women who've been there, done that, to say, girlfriend, this works, do it, just put your money in it. Because I think there's also a lack of trust as well. There's fear, there's a lack of trust, there's a lack of experience. So for the women out there who have the experience, who have the confidence to be the ones to mentor, I think is so important.
To go back to what you're saying about sales, that struck me as interesting because you also have been talking about this idea of women putting themselves on sale.
You bet they do.
So what does that mean?
You know, you see it all the time. You go in and I get a hair, like I live in Florida, uh-huh. right, as well. And
As the Bahamas.
As well as the Bahamas.
Okay.
And you go to these places, you're used to New York prices, all right? You go to these women who are giving you a haircut and whatever. And this one woman spent 3 hours with me a while ago, you know, the whole thing. And the whole bill came to $135 for a color cut, blow dry. She had it, then did a conditioning treatment, all the products. And I walked away with two little things. And I looked at her and I said, are you crazy? She said, well, Susie, if I charge more, I'm afraid mm-hmm. that the people won't use me anymore. I said, but you're not making any money. Mm-hmm. And so you've put yourself on sale. You are one of the best hairdressers I've seen, the best colorist. Oh, my God, you should be charging $300 or $400 for this. At least.
And you would have paid that.
I did. I gave her a tip of that. Right? But, and they won't do it. They're afraid to ask for what they really want. They put a price tag on themselves as to what they think people will pay. And you know what's interesting is during the 2007-2008 downturn, the reason that so many women all of a sudden became in the workforce is that they were willing to go and take a mm-hmm. decrease from $100,000 a year to $30,000. Mm-hmm. They were willing to give up their vacation pay. They were willing to take a cut if that meant that other women and people got to keep their job as well. The men, they would not go back to work. They were making $200,000 a year, and they would not go back to work for an $80,000 a year job. They would call into the show and they go, I am waiting till I get another job. And when the wife has that job, she's now waitressing, she's all of it.
Yeah.
But women tend to settle for less. They don't ask for what they know they're worth because they are afraid of the consequences if they speak up. They put themselves on sale.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a AA or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
This idea of fear like keeps coming up. I mean, we keep talking about fear. I mean, how do you make someone less afraid?
Fear, shame, and anger are the three internal obstacles to wealth, bar none. That is the exact three internal emotions that keep you from being more and therefore having more. And the only way to do it is by taking action.
Mm-hmm. Just jump in the deep end. I also think that, you know, we are new to the territory. We're new to the career territory. We're new to the money territory. We've been home for eons, right? Like, we're just hardwired. This is not second nature to us still, even after so long. And especially if you're looking at how your mother did things or how your grandmother did things, or how, I mean, how our relationship with money today, I think women in particular, is so much a reflection of how we were raised and the modeling that we had growing up. And that's just like compounded over all of these generations. And if, you know, you had a family history of women not working or women who weren't making the money, that's really hard now as a professional woman who's trying to make a career out for herself and make money and build wealth. That's really challenging. And I think that there is a lot of fear, there's a lot of insecurity, but there's a lot of still lack of knowledge and experience that is going to take time. But to Susie's point, I think you just have to dive in and do one of these and jump in and, like, just, you know that there's people there to support you.
But here's the other thing that's really important. Just a little bit ago, I was in New Orleans speaking to women lawyers, partners, associates, all making six figures and above, a few thousand of them. And I was so excited because I thought, finally, I'm going to speak to a group of women who are making money and they're going to be powerful with their money. And I brought a camera crew because I wanted to capture this on film. None of them wanted to be interviewed. None of them wanted to talk about it. They came and would talk to me one-on-one, but not on camera. They didn't know where their money was invested. But here's was the key. They didn't want their families to know. These were all minority women. How much money they were making, because they were the only ones who went to college. They're making the money. They now have a brother, a sister. Parents are different. I always think you have to take care of your parents no matter what. But an aunt, a cousin, a this, that all wanted their money. And they were giving it to them, and they had very little left for themselves. So there are many personalities, very famous women who've made millions of dollars that don't have a penny to show for it today because they've given it all away. Another thing.
We have to put ourselves first. It seems selfish, but it is, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first, and then you can take care of everybody else. And you know
what? You got that line from me, girlfriend.
I think I got it from you, American Airlines. Like, I think that's how I got
that. Well, you have a nice line that's sort of along these lines. You talk about in your book, break the glass ceiling, but carry a shield. You say many of us are getting seriously cut on the way up as stresses between work and home life accumulate. We worry about keeping our jobs, preserving our income, and painting a happy life at home, too. It's high-stakes life, for sure.
Yeah.
What does that mean, to carry a shield?
Well, to protect yourself, you know, to take care of yourself. So many women debate over whether to get the massage or to get the nice haircut or to take a girl's weekend or to hire a cleaning person, you know, or to ask their husband or their partner to chip in and help with the childcare. Because I think that, well, for a lot of reasons, there's pressure to kind of feel like you have to have it all, do it all. Despite the fact that, you know, we're making so much progress, but I think we have a lot of antiquated views as far as what are women's roles when it comes to family and marriage and That's a lot of pressure, especially if you were raised in a traditional household. I'm Iranian. You know, my parents, while they always said, go out there and shoot for the stars, get the raise, get the promotion, college, what about grad school? But, oh, you're not going to marry up financially? Like, huh? How's that going to work? Like, when you have kids, and you will obviously want to take care of them, Farnoosh, because you're the woman and you're the mom, and you're making more. Like, they just, you know, so I got a lot of mixed messages. I felt like I had to be my biggest advocate as a result, my biggest supporter in my financial life, in my personal life. And that's what I mean. Carry a shield. You're number one, you know, in this life. And a lot of people depend on you. So it is worth it to invest in your well-being. And that also means, you know, ask the really terrifying questions. Like, I would like to make more, you know, can I get the raise? Can I get the promotion? You know, that also is inhibited by our fear and insecurity, but we just have to get on board with the fact that we are the most important people in our lives.
Great. And you talk a lot about saying no out of love rather than saying yes out of fear.
Yeah, because everybody says yes out of fear of what everybody else will think of them. Women care a lot what other people think about them. In regards to your statement about carrying a shield, how I would take that. So it's kind of interesting. Like, so how does another powerful woman take what you've written with that? Is that when you break through that glass ceiling, and I have, there are still that you have got to carry a shield because once you've made it, you have a whole world that wants to tear you down.
Yes, yes.
They love to build you up, but they love to tear you down. I see it all the time. So you have to have, my saying is, the dogs keep walking, you know, the dogs keep walking as, you know, the elephant keeps walking as the dogs keep barking. And you have to just keep doing it. But I would take your comment to be, just because you've broken through that glass ceiling, be careful, because somebody's going to try to cut you big time. So you have to be able to, like, protect yourself and use that shield against all the daggers now that are going to come your way. When you haven't made it, nobody spends time shooting at you. You shoot it yourself. Mm-hmm. Once you've made it, now everybody is shooting at you because it's their victory if you fail. So you're the only one who can protect yourself. So that's how I interpret that saying.
And you have to have a strict framework as to how you're going to live your life. What are your values? Saying no. I love saying no right now. It's one of my favorite things to say. But I feel like I've earned it. I've arrived at a place in my career and in my financial life where I used to say yes to everything because that was a strategy too in my 20s and early 30s because I wanted all the experiences. I wanted to fail and fail fast then, not now. And so maybe that sometimes means FOMO, like fear of missing out on certain opportunities. But I feel like at the end of the day, I have to stick to my grounds and, you know, just put a... Carry that shield. Adam, Susie,
say no out of love for herself versus yes out of fear of what others will think, out of loss, out of all of that. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest thing for a woman to do.
Can you talk about a recent time maybe when you've said no?
I say no all the time.
You just said no to me.
No, I say no all the time. It's no, I'm not going to pay for this. No, I'm not, all the time.
Yep.
Once you have a significant amount of wealth and people have an idea about how much wealth you have, you'd be amazed at how many people come to you to help them. And I have another saying, which is sometimes helping is hurting and hurting is helping, to get people to understand, oh, they can do this on their own. So I say no constantly, Adam.
Is it no because? Is it no because?
No, because I don't want to.
It's just no because I don't want
to. That's an important difference. Like, no, I don't is better than no, I can't because da, 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 da. Just no, I don't do that. So this is a very small example, but, you know, I have two kids. I have responsibilities at home. I'm usually in bed by 9 o'clock. If somebody wants to get a late dinner or go to a late event for work, no, I don't do that. because in my mind, I'm telling you, this is just my internal dialogue, because that's just how my life is right now. And that's how I know I can keep sane and I can keep functioning and I can then have the energy the next day to do what's really important. And so, that I think for me, I feel less like I'm letting them down and myself down by just saying, no, I don't do that, but maybe we'll do breakfast.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit more about relationships. So I think that's so much where these financial struggles come to light. What's a red flag? What's a red for a woman in a relationship when it comes to having a partner that is going to be a true partner? What are some red flags?
there's like so many of them. The first thing is, before you ever say I do, you better know your spouse to be, maybe their FICO score, their credit reports. You better be looking at their financial habits.
You said first FICO, then sex.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason that I say that, right, FICO first, then sex. Oprah loves that comment. But is because of this. Once you start getting sexually involved with somebody, truthfully, you go into lust. It's not love. You think it's love. Love is when it gets hard and you stick through it. Lust is when everything is great and you can't wait to go home every night and crawl in bed with them, and you don't want to get out of bed with them. It doesn't doesn't last forever like that. You're tired. You have to work. No. But in the beginning of a relationship, it's like every night it's there. You're in lust and you're blind. And you're not seeing all the little signals. Big tipper, always has to buy shoes. Oh my God, always is buying electronic gadgets. All these things, goes to the racetrack, likes to drink, or spend money that way, likes to gamble. All of these little red flags people miss. So the biggest one really is to sit down and say, all right, let's both check our scores. Let's both show each other our credit reports. And if somebody has a bad FICO score, credit score, and a lot of late payments, I would get rid of that person so fast, I can't even tell you, unless there was a good reason why. Mm-hmm. They got sick. They were in an accident. They didn't have any insurance. Their spouse, the second divorce, they were taken. But they better be willing to tell you about it. And you shouldn't even have to ask them about it. They should be telling you, sweetheart, I just want to tell you right now, I'm a total financial mess. Here's the reason why. But if they don't have a good reason why, because their mess very shortly is going to become your mess. And I guarantee you, financial abuse will start to happen. Mm-hmm. And there will go the relationship.
Okay, so we're talking about women in relationships. And Farnoosh, what are some of the biggest red flags to look out for when you're looking for a partner who will be a true partner when it comes to finances?
I think a partner who really appreciates that you, if you are career-driven, that you're career-driven, that you're, not going to maybe arrive at motherhood and necessarily become the de facto stay-at-home parent. I'm hugely passionate about this because too many career-oriented, educated women are arriving at parenthood because it's expensive and finding themselves opting out of the workforce unwillingly. And I think that's a huge tragedy for a lot of reasons. And so it's important that you really find the partner who doesn't see your career as a hobby or as a short-term thing or as a, as just something that you're dabbling in, that he really supports you. And also that if you are someone who is financially independent as a young millennial woman, and we know that in a lot of metropolitan cities, areas, actually millennial women out-earn millennial men. Because again, the college statistics. And so dating can get tricky. To a man who really appreciates that too, who's not coming over to your house and going, you live here? Or where's your roommate? Oh, you live by yourself? And making a joke about it. This has happened. Women have told me that their dates will be sarcastic or undercut their clear ability to take care of themselves financially. Huge red flag. Mm. Huge red flag.
Well, yes, I would say.
Yeah, I mean,
sarcasm.
It sounds
sarcasm
obvious.
Sarcasm is a red flag.
Sarcasm is a red flag.
Especially when it comes to your career and your finances and where you live. And, yeah.
It's not a funny joke.
No, That's not funny. So we don't have much time left, so maybe we should end with a few action items. You know, money readers love to know what to do. We've already talked about a couple, one of them being, you know, just invest in an index fund, $100 to $300 every month, dollar cost averaging. We've talked about other things too, but Susie, what's a good sort of action item to take away from this?
You know, it's so hard to just say one action item without knowing who I'm talking to or whatever. But the main action, really, I would say to somebody is step towards your money rather than away from it. Mm-hmm. And that if you really want to find the best financial advisor in the world, look in the mirror, because nobody's going to care about your money more than you do. And what happens to your money directly affects the quality of your life, not your banker's, insurance agent's life, your financial advisor's life, but your life. And this isn't rocket science, people. Mm-hmm. Everybody can do it. Everybody should do it. And everybody who does it will be happy that they did so.
I love that. Step towards your money.
I mean, how do I follow that? I would just say also find your people. Like, I mean, don't do this in a silo. You don't have to do it alone. And women, I think we're really great at connecting and finding that network and finding mentors and asking the questions. So continue to do that and build your team. So it's a financial advisor. It's a girlfriend who's been there, done that. It's, women, workplaces now have so many organizations for their female employees for career coaching and financial coaching. Like, tap into these resources, books, podcasts, magazines. I mean, the resources are out there. We're sort of at the heyday of, I think, financial content, especially for women. I'd love to see more.
Yeah.
But I think that's the great opportunity now to really grab.
All right. Well,
thank you so much, Adam, for having us.
Of course. Thank you, Susie.
Anytime, Adam.
All right. Signing off.
Thanks so much to Adam Auriemma of Money Magazine for inviting me and Susie Orman on the show. Congrats to Susie on her latest edition of Women and Money. It's available wherever books are sold. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.